The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I, of course, am the libertarian Tupac, the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith. No Robbie the Fire today. The war rages on, and also it's a Jewish holiday. So happy Rosh Hashanah to all the Jews who listen to me, to all the good ones who are still in my audience. So big news of the day, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died. Twitter is in an uproar. It's one more thing for 2020, throw another little curveball at you. This is going to become a major issue in the presidential election and in politics in general in the country. And you can tell this you know, really gets people going. I saw a few people say that this had this was, you know, my prediction coming true, because I've been predicting for a while that there will be an October surprise in the presidential election. And this is not my prediction coming true. It's not October. And I don't really think you can classify someone in poor health in their mid-80s dying as a surprise. So that's not what this is. I still think there's an October surprise coming. I don't know what it's going to be. My guess is some type of audio recording of Donald Trump saying something horrible. But that's not what this is. This is an entirely separate issue. And it's pretty interesting to watch the reactions from both the left and the right when this type of thing happens. So Donald Trump is going to get to appoint another Supreme Court justice. This will be his third. And that's a lot. That's three in 4 years is a lot. Obama got two Supreme Court justices in his 8 years. W got two in his 8 years. So Trump's already had three in just his first term, assuming he does appoint and is able to get them confirmed. So that's a lot. And I think what drives the liberals crazy about this is that this is now Trump getting to put his fingerprints on the government for, you know, a generation, or maybe a little short of that, but for a long time. I mean, Supreme Court justices, they tend to serve for a long time. They either resign or die, but the job is theirs, you know, as long as they want it. It's a lifetime appointment. So this drives the liberals crazy, because their whole worldview is based around Donald Trump being this aberration, that this is the reason why things aren't normal and things are so crazy, because this one uniquely evil figure, with the help of Vladimir Putin, got in. But as long as we make him a one-term president and go right back to Joe Biden, basically all the country's problems are solved. Donald Trump is the cause of these problems. And so if we just get rid of Trump, then we can go back to business as usual, because Donald Trump is this horrible president, but all the others were pretty good. And by comparison, you know, George W. Bush is like a great person and Barack Obama is still a saint, but Trump is a really unique evil. And so this is kind of the corporate press, you know, the neoliberal establishment worldview, which is complete bullshit, obviously. And anybody who's left or right, anybody who's looking at this through a slightly more nuanced lens would realize that, oh, actually, Trump is kind of a result of a lot of the problems in the country. And George W. Bush and Barack Obama were both abject failures and, you know, war criminals on top of it. None of this is really going to happen. And that the country isn't going back. No, even if Joe Biden can somehow win this election, this country isn't going back to a everything was okay time, you know, in the past. It's not going to happen. But this certainly does get people worked up. Now, my guess is what's going to happen now is a really ugly Senate confirmation process. I think much like with Kavanaugh, they are, whoever Trump nominates, they're going to throw everything they possibly can at. In fact, I think they're going to have to go bigger than they did with Kavanaugh. And this will, you know, be some other distraction, whole, you know, circus thing. And then I think they'll get them confirmed, because, you know, the Republicans do still control the Senate, and they were able to push Kavanaugh through, and they'll probably be able to get this person through. You know, even if Trump were to lose the election, they don't just have till November, they have till January to get it done, because Trump is going to be president until January, no matter what happens. So my guess is we're going to have a circus. There'll be some entertainment value out of it, and then there'll be another Republican appointed judge. I would also predict that Donald Trump is not going to pick a good justice. I don't think right now all of the political incentives will push Donald Trump to pick the most moderate centrist candidate that you can think of, which usually means the worst. There's a kind of rule of thumb in Washington, D.C. If something is bipartisan, it's horrible. And if there's something that the Democrats and Republicans can both get on board with, it's going to be the worst of the worst. And all of the worst policies in America have bipartisan support, or had bipartisan support when they started. I guess there's a few exceptions like Obamacare or something like that. But, you know, if you look at like the wars or the debt, or, you know, there's all bipartisan support for all these things. So that's my prediction. Trump's going to pick somebody who really can't offend the Democrats too much, and they'll be able to get him or her confirmed. And the reason I say this is because Donald Trump doesn't want to pick somebody who's going to serve as a get out the vote campaign for the left, right? So if he puts some hard right winger in there, that's just going to piss people off and motivate them to show up to vote Donald Trump out, you know? And I know you can say it'll be after the fact, but it'll be, look how much damage he's already done to the country. We have to get this horrible bigot out of there. So that's more or less how I see that going. It's kind of interesting that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was such a hero to the liberals. I mean, she's basically, I think it basically comes down to like, she was the second, I believe, female Supreme Court justice, and she was, you know, pro-choice, like, and that's that. It's not as if she's like, was sitting on the Supreme Court when Roe v. Wade was decided or something like that. I think the most consequential abortion ruling that she had was that she struck down, or the court struck down some like restrictions on abortion in Texas or something like that. But there is something about the Supreme Court that really gets people, it gets people both on the left and the right who would otherwise be pissed off at their party to fall in line and vote for them. And this has always been true. It's always had this effect. Like Pat Buchanan, even in 1992, when he ran, he primaried George H.W. Bush. because he hated Bush's the policy on wars. He was against the first war in Iraq. Pat Buchanan was one of the actual principled cold warriors who was like, you know, I don't want to fight these wars, but we've got the Soviet Union, so we've got to go fight wars in Korea and Vietnam and all this shit. And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, he was like, great, we can stop fighting wars now. Aren't all the Republicans thrilled about this? And then the Republicans were like, we got to go see about this Saddam Hussein guy and fight wars for another 30 years in the Middle East. And Pat Buchanan was like, what? No, I don't want any part of this. So he primaried George H.W. Bush. He also hated his like trade policy and spending and a bunch of other stuff. But ultimately he fell in line and he endorsed him after he lost. And he spoke at the Republican National Convention. And one of, if not the central justification for why he was going to support George Herbert Walker Bush was for Supreme Court justice picks, you know? And this happens on the left too. There'll be people who are really disillusioned with the Democrats, but they go, well, you know what? The Republicans will overturn, you know, Roe v. Wade, abortion will be illegal. So in order to protect abortion rights, I have to, you know, vote for the Democrat. So it's a very useful tool for both the Democrats and the Republicans to get people who pretty much otherwise acknowledge that these parties suck and that their you know, presidential candidate is not who they would like to hold their nose and say, okay, I'll vote for this person. And it's, I don't know, it's actually pretty amazing how much of an effect it has on people, how effective it is in that direction. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Quip. When's the last time you got rewarded for brushing your teeth? Well, with Quip's new smart electric toothbrush, good habits can earn you great perks like free products, gift cards, and more. I got to tell you, I love the Quip toothbrush. I use it. My wife uses it. My mouth has never felt cleaner. It's not just a great toothbrush. It also helps you develop good oral hygiene habits. The Quip smart brush also connects to their app with Bluetooth, so you can track when and how well you brush, get tips and coaching to improve your habits, earn points for daily brushing, and earn bonus points for completing the challenges. Redeem the rewards from Quip and partners. It's particularly great for kids if you're trying to like get your kids into like brushing their teeth the right way. It makes it a fun game. But I got to tell you, for an adult like myself, the Quip has a sensitive sonic vibration and a 2-minute timer pulse with 30-second pulses for a guided clean. So it makes you, you make sure that you're brushing each quadrant of your mouth that like with the same time in the proper amount of time. You don't think about it and you don't notice it, but you're not brushing the left side of your mouth for the exact same amount of time as the right side. If you're over brushing, you can damage gums. If you're under brushing, you don't get all the plaque off. It's really nice to just know that you're doing this the right way, the way a dentist would recommend you do it. And that's why Quip is such a great company. It's got anti-cavity ingredients for strong, healthy teeth. They have floss that expands to clean and comes in a refillable dispenser to reduce waste. It's eco-friendly. It's solar battery charged. The refresh bag they have so you can bring your good oral habits on the road with you. It's really just a great company. They have everything you need and it's the best toothbrush I've ever owned. So go to getquip.com/problem. That's getquip.com/problem and start getting rewards for brushing your teeth the right way today. Getquip.com/problem right now and you get your first refill for free. I highly recommend this product. One more time, getquip.com/problem. All right, let's get back into the show. So, you know, look, the abortion issue is what is at the heart of all of this. It's really what's at the heart of people caring about the Supreme Court so much. It's that there's always on the left, they convince people that we're always right on the doorstep of overturning Roe v. Wade and making abortion illegal. And on the right, they convince the people the same thing. You know, hey, we could get this if we were just one judge, you know, away from making this happen. There was an interesting moment when Kavanaugh was in his confirmation hearing, not the salacious one where it was all about the accusations of you know, sexual assault from 4 decades ago, but the original confirmation hearing where they asked him about Roe v. Wade, and he basically said, he's like, Roe v. Wade is settled law. That's the law of the land. The Supreme Court already ruled on it. I don't really have a position on what the Supreme Court should do with abortion. And basically, everyone, left and right, convinced themselves that he was lying. Like the left is like, he's just saying that, but he really wants to overthrow abortion rights. And the right was like, he's just saying that, but he really wants to overthrow abortion rights. You know, same sentiment with different tone. But I actually think he was telling the truth. And I think that that's what's so ridiculous about this whole thing. It's that, you know, and I say this as somebody who is pro-life, but I just don't see it. I don't think Roe v. Wade's being overturned. I don't think we're going to win this one through the courts. It's just, I don't see it happening. And maybe I'm wrong, but all of the empirical evidence seems to be pointing toward me being right. I just don't see it. And I don't, in general, think it's... I think that the fact that so many people get pushed back into supporting a president that they have to hold their nose to support, or a presidential candidate, is not really justified or borne out by the results. Murray Rothbard wrote about this in Anatomy of the State and in several other places in his throughout his career. But the Supreme Court is absolutely flawed, ridiculous institution. It's ridiculous to think that it's going to do the job that you want it to do. It's one of the, I mean, look, I obviously I'm an anarchist, I'm an anarcho-capitalist, I don't believe in governments existing, but there's some concepts of government that are more ridiculous than others. The idea that the Supreme Court is going to be there to check the president and the Congress when they, you know, exceed their constitutional limitations, it just makes no sense. And of course, you can look at the results throughout history. I mean, like, you know, as I like to say, America started as the smallest government in the world and has become the biggest government in the world. Really no question about either of those things. Like, there was never an experiment in small government that was as restrained as the government of the United States of America. There's the whole, you know, our whole Constitution and Bill of Rights is basically telling the government what they can't do. It's the Constitution is like, okay, here's the very limited authorities that the government has, and here are all the competing, you know, like, checks and balances where they're governments are pitted against each other, and so none of them can ever get too big. And then the Bill of Rights is basically a long list of what the government can't do. Congress shall write no law, blah, 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 all these things. And that was really very different from any other government that's ever existed. And now, right now, today, can you even argue that there's ever been a more powerful government than the United States of America? I mean, What government has a bigger military, has a bigger budget, nothing's even close to the United States of America. Okay, so as we transition from the smallest government to the biggest government, you have the Supreme Court there the whole time, and their role supposedly is to make sure that this government doesn't overstep its constitutional limitations. So how have they done? And of course, it's not like a surprise why. I mean, if you have a court that is supposed to check the president and the Congress, that is appointed by the president and confirmed by half of the Congress, what a shocker that they turn out to have a pro-government bias. So that's the whole nature of the thing is fucking ridiculous. Like, it's absurd. It's like if you and me had a fucking legal dispute, and we're like, okay, we're going to go settle this in court, but I get to nominate the judge, and then the judge is confirmed by my wife. Would you be surprised if you go, you know, as over the years, these cases seem to be siding with Dave? Like, what? Of course, that's the whole nature of the way it's set up. If the people are having a problem with their government, and then they have to go to this other court, but the judges are appointed and confirmed by their government, shouldn't be a shock to anyone when they tend to side with the government and not with the people. So kind of how this whole game works. And I would just say, like, you know, for all the, you know, Republicans who have been, or for all the people who have been kind of sucked into voting for Republicans because we got to get these Supreme Court justices on the bench, like, okay, well, how has that worked out? How has that worked out for you? You know, it's like, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of problems with the Democrat appointed justices, you know, and I think they're crazy. And like I said, I'm pro-life. I don't like the fact that they appoint all of these pro-choice judges. But what have you Republicans, like, what have you gotten out of the judges, the justices you've appointed? You've got a lot. You've had a lot throughout the years. By the way, it was a fucking Bush appointed judge who gave you Obamacare, that Roberts guy. He's literally the reason why Obamacare is the law of the land. And by the way, the whole fucking spying apparatus that brought down Donald Trump, I guess didn't bring him down, but certainly fucking destroyed his first 3 years of his presidency and destroyed his ability to do what he ran on, which was to make a deal with Putin and to get our goddamn fucking troops out of the Middle East. Well, who destroyed that? Well, it was the whole spying apparatus, right? It was the spying apparatus that was developed under George W. Bush and Barack Obama. The whole NSA, CIA, FBI web. That's what fucking, you know, basically led the attempted coup against Donald Trump and still might fucking ruin him, you know, going forward, who the fuck knows. Well, who gave you that? It was your fucking Republican appointed Supreme Court justices. They're the ones who fucking deemed all of this shit constitutional, didn't do anything to fucking strike it down. Now they're the worst when it comes to all of that shit. And so, you know, and they're also the worst when it comes to the fucking like national police state shit. And so that you got to like deal with that shit. You're not going to be able to have one without the other. And the truth is that all of the justices who were appointed in the past and the ones who Trump's going to appoint, maybe with the exception of Gorsuch, but the rest of them are all just terrible when it comes to this fucking, the spying apparatus. And that's really an important thing that, that Republican voters are going to have to fucking grapple with. It's like this is the mechanism that they used to go after your guy, Trump. And then fucking Trump is such a bozo that he fucking reauthorizes the goddamn spying powers. Like, how the fuck did, if ever you thought there would be a president who wouldn't be down to reauthorize the NSA's spying powers and enhance them, you'd think it would be Trump, the guy who had that whole, you know, apparatus turned on him, that even he doesn't fucking do it. So that's something you're going to have to deal with. And truthfully speaking, I just don't know that it, you know, I don't know that it really makes that much of a difference. I don't know. I think you guys are kind of being trapped into caring about this shit when I don't really think there's that much here for you to fucking care about. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Amigo. They're an amazing bidet brand changing the way you go to the bathroom. Be honest with yourself. How clean do you really feel after you use the bathroom? It's toilet paper, wiping, this is the way of the past. It's gross. You're also probably worried about getting toilet paper if there's another lockdown or outbreak of COVID or whatever. Put all of that stuff out of your mind and feel cleaner than you've ever felt by getting an Amigo bidet. That's O-M-I-G-O. Amigo makes incredible modern bidets delivered right to your front door. With Amigo, you can turn any toilet into a bidet. It's incredibly easy to install. No plumber. You can do it yourself, and it's really simple. Think about it. You're pooping at home every day. Why not treat yourself with a little respect? It'll change your life. You will never go back to toilet paper. You got to check them out. They have a bidet for every toilet, for every person. Go to myamigo.com. That's myomigo.com/POTP. And you'll get 10% off. Go get yourself a bidet today. It's going to change your life. myamigo.com/POTP for 10% off. All right, let's get back into the show. Again, it's like you're going to have to, if you ever want to have a president who truly is, and this is why so many like libertarians, and fucking, we never get the credit that we fucking deserve, by the way. So I know there's like a lot of the kind of like right-wing types they kind of like mock libertarians, the lulbertarians or whatever the fuck they call us. And believe me, I know as well as just about anyone, there are a lot of libertarians out there who rightfully earn that reputation. And I do my best to try to fucking, you know, argue with their bullshit all the time. And this is one of the points that I was getting at when I had Michelle Malkin on the show, who was kind of like a member of Conservatism Inc. and now is on the outs with them. And I said to her at one point where, you know, essentially, I was like, you know, you got to admit, okay, you can feel however you feel about, you know, libertarians today. I she's clearly not a libertarian. But I go, but you got to admit that Ron Paul was right about all of these wars and that you guys fucking mocked him. And like, okay, you want to like continue to mock libertarians and like, oh, you know, the lulbertarians or whatever, lulberts, whatever they call us. It's like, okay, go ahead. But hey, the libertarians, the libertarian, Ron Paul, he was fucking right about all of these wars. And that's not a small thing. That's like a really, really big thing. Like this is a huge trillions of dollars. You know, even if you don't care about the fucking lives lost on the other side, thousands of Americans, we don't have 22 soldier suicides a day on top of the thousands that have already died if we didn't fight any of these wars. Now, these guys, you know, for the right wingers out there who care about kind of like, you know, they like care about the military members and they care about the big, tough, strong right-wing guys in America. Okay, well, what the fuck has been destroying them, just systematically ruining their lives? It's just a fucking tragedy. And even you guys should realize this is a fucking nightmare. And for those of you guys who are like, you know, skeptical of the Israeli influence, well, that's kind of what they wanted, was this policy that the libertarians were against. And of course, the other one is obviously they were all fucking, you know, up in arms about the migrants flooding in to Europe and to America for that matter, too. And it's like, yeah, OK, well, what do you think fucking caused all that shit? It's not just that like fucking, you know, the people in the Middle East and North Africa are like have a terrible culture or a terrible religion or something like that. I mean, feel however you feel about them. They've had that culture and religion for a fucking long time. And it's not just the welfare state in Europe, which we're also against, but they've had that welfare state for a long time. Oh, what happened? The fucking flood of refugees, migrants, whatever, into fucking Europe was a direct result of all of these wars. It was fucking overthrowing Gaddafi. It was destroying Syria and fucking like, this is what led to all this shit. So, okay, there you go. That's, you got to at least admit, make fun of us if you want to, but you got to at least admit we were right about that shit. We were dead right about the fucking wars. And if you had fucking listened then instead of mocking us, that we'd be in a much better place. And the other thing libertarians were really right about was this fucking, the spying apparatus. And while it was being created under George W. Bush, and then really when it got created under Obama, like this was the thing. I remember talking about this on Part of the Problem back, you know, back in like 2014 and shit, when no one listened to this show, but I was still saying the goddamn same shit. And the thing that I could see right away was that this was the whole fucking game. It was like, oh, if the government has all of the people's metadata, if they have all the information on people, then that's it. How will you ever have a real leader rise up and really challenge authority when the second they're a threat to authority, they can fucking spy on that person. They can bring them down. And this is going to be even more true going forward in the future because now our entire lives are on the internet. Our entire lives are out there and you know, so they've got all of it. And they can fucking use it. They can spy on everybody. They can fucking get any dirt that they can on you. They don't have to expose the stuff, like even if there was something that like, you know, explained it or whatever, you know, something that proved your innocence, they don't have to expose that. They can just expose the dirt. And so that's, you know, this is going to be a fucking nightmare. And we used to always say, like the example we had at the time was Ron Paul. We were like, well, what if Ron Paul wins? Or what if the next Ron Paul, someone who really wants to, you know, end the military-industrial complex's, you know, stronghold over the government, well, then what would they do to that guy? They'd ruin him. They'd have everything since he was 18 years old fucking recorded and tracked, and they'd be able to pull it all up and just fucking go through his shit. Well, we didn't get that guy, but we did get Trump. And what did they do? What did they do as soon as there was a fucking guy running on a right-wing populist platform who was like, we're going to drain the swamp and end the wars and all that shit? Well, what did they do? They turned those spying powers onto this guy. And they basically, I mean, they tried to use it to overthrow him, and they didn't get that far. But they certainly were able to poison the well, to distract the American people, and to take up his first fucking term, at least most of it, 75% of it, with him dealing with these allegations that he was conspiring with a hostile foreign power. So there's this like fucking, you know, there's this dynamic with right wingers that happens in a lot of different areas, but it's like, you got to choose. What do you want? You know, do you want this fucking national police, you know, national security apparatus spying powers, or do you want a chance for a guy to ever drain the swamp? You can't have both. You know, one will stop the other one from happening. So pick, you know, it's like, do you want these wars, or do you want fucking, you know, Europe fucking flooded with refugees? Or like, do you want these wars, or do you want to stop the flood of refugees into Europe? You got to pick. And by the way, I should say, largely, I think the right wing has picked, and they've picked in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, just saying, while you're laughing at libertarians, you should at least acknowledge that we were right about the most important issues. All right. So the abortion thing ends up being, I think, at the heart of why so many people are pulled into caring about the Supreme Court, as I mentioned earlier. And it kind of makes sense in a way, because, you know, that like abortion is one of these issues where there's no common ground to be had. I mean, if there's one group of people, and the issue is very split, like it's almost 50-50, you know, in the country. If there's one group of people who say that the right to have an abortion is a fundamental right to women, and if you oppose it, you oppose women's rights, and you're basically a monster, and you know, like, this is it's no big deal, it means nothing, and so obviously it's a fundamental right for women to be able to, you know, whatever they say, reproductive rights or some shit like that. And then there's another group of people who say it's murdering a baby. How do you mediate that? How do you have a conversation? Like, if those are your two starting points, where can you possibly meet in the middle in that debate? And of course, I fall on the it's killing a baby side of things, but I can recognize that it's just like, well, I mean, we're coming at this from such different angles that there's really no reconciliation here. And so we just have to kind of fight it out. But I'm just suggesting that you should pay attention and realize that the court isn't going to do anything about this. And they're not going to. So we got to try to, you know, find some other way to deal with this awful situation. So anyway, it's going to be entertaining to watch. If nothing else, we get some entertainment value out of this whole fucking thing, because it's going to be a circus, man. It's going to be like the Kavanaugh thing on crack. This is going to be just like too funny and such a shit show that, you know, I almost feel like America deserves this after the fucking 2020 we've had. Let us have some fucking entertainment value. Ultimately, I don't think that this will drastically change the results of the election, because I just think that it's like I said before, I don't think Trump is going to pick a provocative judge. And it's going to be hard for them to spin it into something. They'll make something, you know, there'll be accusations. If I had to guess, I think it'll just be the same thing. I was trying to rack my brain, like, what else could they do to try to slander a judge? But you know what? The easiest and most obvious one is there'll be some women who come out and accuse him of you know, some type of sexual assault or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it'll be something else. But they're not just going to, the Democrats will do everything they can. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our wonderful sponsor for today's show, which is Cushy Dreams. I love Cushy Dreams. This is a game changer. Cushy Dreams has high quality CBD bud. This is CBD that you can smoke. I love this stuff. I use it to relax at the end of a day to get some good sleep. It looks and smells and tastes and feels like the best bud you've ever seen in your life, but it's CBD. So it's not going to get you high. It just relaxes you. It has all the medical benefits of marijuana. It's great for insomnia, really helps you get good sleep. And if you're a pothead and you want to, you know, not smoke quite as much weed, this is the best thing for you. And I'm telling you, you could be the biggest pothead in the world. You'll look at this and be like, oh, this is amazing quality bud. Cushy Dreams ships legally to all 50 states. It's CBD cannabis that isn't going to get you high, but it'll give you all the medical benefits of marijuana. It's 100% hand trimmed, never machine trimmed. Each batch is slow cured to preserve flavor and cannabinoids, and it's independently lab tested for compliance and purity. So go to cushydreams.com and use the promo code POTP. That'll get you 20% off. Once again, that's cushydreams.com, cushydreams.com, promo code POTP for 20% off high quality CBD bud. All right, let's get back into the show. One more thing that's pretty funny about it is it's been truly revealing about what fucking hypocritical pieces of shit politicians are. So Obama, if you remember with the Merrick Garland thing, so Obama appointed a justice right at the end in the lame duck portion of his presidency. So it was right like in the end of his 8 years. And McConnell stalled them out and they wouldn't fucking vote to confirm Merrick Garland. And they waited until the election. And like the Democrats kind of bitched and moaned about it, but I think they weren't really that upset because basically Obama nominated a fairly moderate judge. And then the election was coming up. And since they didn't confirm him, they were kind of like, well, Hillary Clinton's going to win. And then we could get a real left winger on the court. So they were kind of like, they bitched and moaned, but they didn't make too big a thing out of it. But then fucking Trump ended up winning. And so they got Gorsuch on the court. So they thought they were going to get some left winger and they ended up getting a right winger on the court. And so that just like fucking drove them nuts and they're furious about it. And so they talked all this game about how awful that was and it was unconstitutional and it was like a dereliction of duty and it's just like this awful like fucking thing that the Republicans did. And, you know, look, I mean, it was fucking dirty politics for sure, but, you know, that's what politics is. And so they fucking, technically speaking, the Senate doesn't have to confirm somebody who the fucking president appointed, and they ran out the clock and they got their guy in and got a different judge. But so all the Democrats who made like basically the Republican argument was, well, we think that since there's an election coming up, the voters should decide. So they used this kind of democracy, you know, based argument. And they were like, well, we think the voters should have a say in all of this. And therefore, we're going to wait till the election. The voters will choose a new president and that person can have their justice come in. And so that was their argument. And the Democrats' argument was like, that's bullshit. The voters already decided on Obama. And so they should, he has the right, you know, it's his, you know, constitutional authority to nominate a judge. And so he should have the right. And now that it's the exact opposite situation, with no shame, no hesitation, both sides will just flip and adjust to the other one's argument. Not even a second thought about it. I mean, okay, you can say, well, it was Obama's 8 years, so we knew there'd be a new president, and this time there might still be the same president, but you're kind of grasping at straws. The truth is that with no hesitation, now the Republicans will say, well, Donald Trump's the president, and so he gets to nominate a judge, and the Democrats will say, we should wait. They already are. Chuck Schumer already tweeted about this. And they'll say, we should wait and let the American people decide. Now, what Chuck Schumer's doing, right, when he tweeted this out, was he was mocking Mitch McConnell for his hypocrisy. Because he's like, look, this is what you said when Garland was the judge, and now you're saying the exact opposite. Of course, he's being just as hypocritical because he also said the opposite at the time and is now saying what Mitch McConnell said. So whatever, it's all just stupid. What it comes down to is power. The Republicans controlled the Senate then and they control it now. So they could not nominate Obama's judge and they can nominate Trump's judge. but it's an interesting, just, you know, like demonstration on display for everyone that, you know, what you already know is true, that none of these people, they have zero principles. They just care about power. And like, it's funny because when they want their power, they will, you know, wax poetic about their principles and how much they care about their principles. And then if you go, okay, well, the exact opposite of that principle can get you power now, they go, well, then that's what I care about. And then they'll start fucking talking about that, the exact opposite thing. It's like, it's a little revealing moment that everyone should fucking pay attention to. It's like, oh yeah, these people are fucking full of shit, which is really the central message of this fucking show. Like, I mean, there's two, you know, like the central message of part of the problem is like twofold. It's like, number one, you know, liberty, property rights, all that shit. And number two, these people are all full of shit. And this really proves number two, I think pretty successfully. But so that'll be, by the way, that'll all be, you know, that'll be coming out all the time. And they'll both be accusing the other side of hypocrisy, and they will both be correct. Like, yes, both of these sides are fucking full of shit, and all they care about is power. But what does it really mean to me and you? What does any of this really mean? You know, say what you will about the fucking crazy left-wing justices. And they're crazy and they're awful on a whole host of issues. You know, this, like someone like Sonia Sotomayor is Obama's appointment. I mean, is like a straight up racist. I mean, like she, like the, some of the things she's said about white people. I mean, if anyone said that about any other, race, the Republicans even would pull them off the ticket. Like, I mean, she like straight up said that white men can't have the same amount of knowledge that she has as a Latina woman. And like, I mean, she's fucking crazy, but she's pretty good when it comes to the national spying apparatus. And that ultimately is what fucking was Trump's, you know, what really ruined his first term. So it's like this weird thing where you're like, okay, so what do we actually get out of this? What do any of the Republicans actually get out of supporting a Republican appointed justice, and vice versa? What do the Democratic voters really get out of this? Or is it possible that this is all just kind of, whether designed intentionally or just in effect, this is all kind of just something that makes people fall in line and hold their nose and vote for a presidential candidate who they otherwise would be hesitant to vote for? It seems more like that to me. Maybe I'm missing something. Let me know. But that seems like it to me. Now, what is interesting, right, is that so Obama, right, only, like I said, only got two justices picked. W only got two justices on the court in their 8 years. Trump is looking at three in 4 years. Now, if he gets reelected again, I mean, he's going to have a lot of, you know, he might get another one or two. And that would really be something. Not again, like I said, not that it matters, but it'll drive fucking liberals crazy. Anyway, I guess, you know, as I said, I don't really think this is going to like drastically change anything about the election. I still think that, I think that it's going to be a shit show. The more I'm thinking about this, I think that President Trump is going to have a good day on election day. I think if this was a normal election and it wasn't for all the voting by mail shit, I just think Donald Trump would be reelected at this point. And I think by, you know, not a landslide, but like a sizable margin. I think he'd beat Joe Biden by more than he beat Hillary Clinton. But the voting by mail throws everything into fucking chaos. So we might see a situation where on election day, Trump comes out ahead, but then in the weeks to follow, you know, there's all types of like legal shenanigans. But I don't think this is going to have a big impact. I think the thing that's going to have a big impact is still, it's funny because only, you know, a month and a half out from the election, it still comes down to how many appearances the Joe Biden campaign can limit Joe Biden to. You know, I saw this, this CNN town hall thing that he did the other day. And, you know, if you're Joe Biden's, like I try, as I've said before on the show, I try to put myself in the position of like, if I was Joe Biden's campaign manager, like strip all of your morals and ethics away. And your only goal is to get Joe Biden elected president. And you just have to think of things that way, just to put yourself in that mind space is like a mental exercise. And I guess what you could take away from the CNN town hall is you'd go, well, he didn't blow it. He didn't blow the whole election in one, you know, thing. Of course, this is CNN, so how much do we trust that he didn't have pre-knowledge, you know, of the questions and shit like that? It's certainly set up for him. You know, there are no, there's no legitimately tough questions and stuff like that. But man, even when he didn't have a moment where he collapsed, he just looks so old and weak. And Joe Biden, every time you see him, man, he just does not look like he wants this. He doesn't look like a fighter. He doesn't look hungry. He tries to convince you he is, but it's really, it's unsuccessful. And say whatever you will about Trump, he's still Trump. And there, it looks like they're going to have these debates. And that's, I think that there's still a very large, you know, a very big chance that Trump's going to land some heavy blows on Joe Biden, and that Joe Biden's going to have some really bad moments. I mean, he had several moments where he does this thing where it's like the only Joe Biden does this. I've never seen anyone else running for high office do this, where he just collapses into himself, where he just starts stuttering and then goes, I don't know. I shouldn't even say it. Well, we don't need to get into this now. And then everyone's sitting there. And what happens is, if you notice this, is everyone around him carries him. So when he does that, then they go, okay, no problem. Well, we'll switch gears and talk about something else. But when, if that happens with Donald Trump, Donald Trump's not going to carry him. He's going to call him out for it and hammer him. It's like almost like if a boxer like has somebody else on the ropes and they're like on shaky legs, and then they always just pull back and let you kind of come back and relax. But Trump's going to pounce on you, as their media's favorite word. Trump will pounce. And so that, I think, is still what the election is going to come down to. And I think Trump has benefited tremendously from the riots and the violence. And most normal people are against that type of thing. And you know, so anyway, I think this will be a whole circus. It'll be a big distraction. I don't really think it's going to be that consequential. And what we're going to end up with is a Trump-appointed, moderate, boring, fucking centrist establishment judge. So the losers will be all of us, as usual. But you know, we're used to losing. So no biggie there. All right, that's my episode for today. Thanks for listening. Peace.